What's up, Breakthrough Success listeners? Mark Bird, the podcast and coach here, helping people launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts. And one of the most important things for business and for life are relationships. And there's actually a new framework called the 50-70-75-100 solution that will help you to build better relationships. We have a guest here who has been on Breakthrough Success in the past. He is back again to share with us what this framework is and how we can use it to build these better relationships. So our guest who joins us today, he's a best-selling author, professional speaker, and life coach. His first book, which is also a bestseller, Do a Day, teaches his approach to overcoming what stands in our way in life. His latest book, The 50-75-100 Solution Build Better Relationships, helps people see their power to make their relationships healthier and happier in business, family, and life overall. Our guest has also done a few TEDx talks, and he has written articles for a bunch of big players like Inc., the Chicago Tribune, and the LA Times. So our guest who joins us for this episode of the Breakthrough Success is none other than Brian Falchuk. Brian, welcome back to the show.
Yeah. Thanks so much for having me back on, Mark. That was an awesome intro. I got to write that down and share that with others. It's like perfect. I don't think I've said it that well myself. That's great. Thank you.
Brian, thank you so much for coming back on Breakthrough Success. It's definitely a joy to see you each time and sharing all these different insights with our listeners. I wonder if we could just cut right into it. I know your new book, The 50-75-100 Solution, Build Better Relationships. Can you share with us what those numbers mean in building relationships?
I think that's the hardest part of the whole thing is people hear the numbers like, I don't know what that is. I don't want to get into it. But don't let the number scare you. It's actually really simple math. Just think in halves and quarters. So it's like 50-50, right? Every relationship, there's two sides to the story. So that's the 50. That's the easy one. The 75 is just, look, we've got our 50%, but actually we can have influence over half of the other person. So half of the half is another quarter. A quarter plus 50 is 75. So that's where you get the 75. And when you're 75% in control or influencing something better, you quickly get to 100% better. So that's where the numbers come in. They're probably the hardest part of the whole thing, but it's really just about understanding. I think everyone accepts we control our half of the equation. Now, that doesn't mean it's easy. It doesn't mean, you know, you don't need help to do that. But, you know, you're the owner of you. You're the master of you. What's interesting and what's inspiring for people, and this is what I figured out through my own journey and through my coaching work, is we actually have a lot of influence over half of the other person. And that's the half of them that's based on the reactions to us. And so when you start to think about like, oh, okay, I get that I control my world, but I can influence this person who I'm having difficulty with. That's not something I really realized before because I was just stuck in this, like, they're doing this to me. Why don't they just see my way? You know, I'm yelling at them. They're yelling at me. Why won't they just cave in and see that I'm right? That doesn't really work. But if you figure out how you can influence them, then that's where you get to 75% of the relationship actually is within your power. And that's a really empowering place to be and to take that kind of knowledge and start to turn that into moving things better.
And it definitely does start with that 50%, just being in control of yourself. Yeah. And I can see like people yelling, trying to get their way. The loudest voice doesn't get the way. It's the smartest voice that gets the way. So just
It's sometimes the voice you don't even hear, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
One of the things that I want to ask is,
yeah,
how do we like get better control of ourselves for that 50%? Like this isn't just like a yelling competition, but like this also apply to business as well. But how do we get control of ourselves, the initial?
Yeah. I mean, the good thing is the tools that we use to control ourselves are the same tools that help us influence the other person. So there's three core principles that I talk about in the book. And you know, you mentioned the TED Talks. I did one about a year ago now on the idea of the book, and it's the same core ideas. It's really, it comes from Buddhism. And it's about seeing that the people on the other side of the equation are not just here to hurt us or stand in our way or be difficult or mean or any of the things you're feeling that they're doing to you or maybe not doing for you. That's not why they're doing it. Even if they think they are, that's not really what's going on. In fact, all of us actually just seeks to be happy. And the question is, well, how do we define happy? Like, what is it we're actually looking for? And sometimes that happiness, maybe we don't fully understand it ourselves, but we may think that you stand in the way. And maybe that's a subconscious thing. Maybe it's something overt, but like, you know, we're adversaries. So me getting ahead means you have to step aside or move back. So it's not that I actually just want to hurt you. I just want to get ahead. And I happen to view you as standing in my way. So I'm going to go head to head with you. And it's, you start to understand that. It's like, okay, I actually feel less attacked right now because you're not just blindly being mean to me. You do have a purpose. Now, I may not agree with that. I may not agree with the methods that you're going about trying to get to that purpose, but at least I can understand, like, you just want better for you, just like I want for me. And if you can relate to people in that way, just as your first thought is like, okay, yeah, they're yelling at me. They're calling me these names. They're putting me down. It's not like they woke up this morning. They were like, how can I make Brian feel worse about himself? They were like, you know, maybe it's, I want Brian's job. And so he's my competitor. Or maybe it's like, look, I've got a lot of insecurities. Brian seems to be doing better. That makes me feel more insecure. And so I want to knock him down. I mean, you see this actually a lot with kids. Kids whose parents are getting divorced will often be bullies to kids who's, you know, seem to have a nice family life. I got to witness this myself, maybe on the wrong side of the equation when my parents were getting divorced, but my own son, first and second grade, there was a kid who really started to bully him badly, and it's because his parents were getting divorced. And that's a lot to go through as a little kid. You don't understand all that. So you lash out, and you lash out on the people who seem to have what you're feeling insecurity about. And so it's not that he just wanted to be mean to my son. He wanted to just, you know, have that family comfort and togetherness and stability. And myself going through divorce as a little kid, like, I understood what he was going for, and I didn't like it. You know, I wasn't happy about the way he was treating my son, but it did allow for a very different conversation with his father when, you know, we were sitting next to each other at a kid's birthday party. And I was like, listen, this is what's going on. I know what you guys are going through. I understand where he's coming from. And it doesn't mean that my son needs to be mistreated. So we got to talk about this. That's a much more effective way to have that conversation than your kid's a jerk and I'm going to, you know, like, look, I'm going to fight you and then your kid will see. That probably wouldn't work out so well. So it's starting with that appreciation for the fact that we all just seek happiness. Even the person who's working against you, just like you, wants something better for themselves. And I've found this really helps me step down my own reactiveness. If I'm reacting differently, I can interact with them in a different way that will give them a different version of me to react to. And that's where you start to eke into the 75.
Wow, that's certainly a really great story. Certainly a mic drop kind of a feel there. I mean, like, a lot of people, they would just look at the situation and be like, you're a bully, this and that, and like, get your act together. But you took a different approach, being able to really understand the person instead of just trying to lash out. And then you tried to come up with a constructive solution. And I think you were able to do that because you're writing the book, like, this is your profession and stuff, but also because you went through that. And
that's right.
As someone who's lucky to have a good family and not go through any kind of like divorce or anything like that, I wouldn't have been able to pick up on that point that you shared. So how can we like better pick up on these things? Because I think in your case, you picked up on it because you were on like,
I had the context for that one.
Yeah.
Yeah. But to be fair, there's a lot of situations I'm in where I don't do as well as I could. So I'm still learning and growing. You know, this is not me speaking from a place of perfection. I'm like a lab experiment on myself. But also there's lots of situations where I have no context. And I share a bunch of them in the book where, you know, either for myself or maybe someone I'm working with as a coach, I don't necessarily have the background that's like, oh yeah, I've been there. I know what they're really feeling. And that's why I can empathize and kind of treat them differently. You know, I talk about this work situation, and that's why people hear relationships and they're like, I'm doing business. This isn't about like romantic stuff. It's like, well, look, we have relationships everywhere. This isn't just about, you know, your family or your significant other or your parents or just coworkers. It's literally, I mean, we've got relationships all over the place. Well, work is one where I had a coworker who, we had been good friends. She's brilliant. And she just started to go on the attack against everyone. And what we've come to find out later is she had screwed up pretty badly and was trying to cover it up. And so anyone who was stumbling upon uncovering that, her intention was to try to get them fired before they exposed her and she got fired. And so I watched her starting to do this to a few people and I didn't really understand why. And then she started to do it to me. And none of us knew that we were kind of like starting upon this path of kind of exposing things. So she just like kind of out of the blue would just get really nasty and send these scathing emails to ourselves and our boss. She'd have all these like facts in there that actually weren't real, but she would, you know, like make up all this data and there were charts and she told a really she used to be a litigator. So like she knew how to tell a compelling story. And like, look, I've never done that. I didn't grow up with that. This is not something where like, oh yeah, you know, I know exactly what she's feeling. And I had no clue what the situation was. And actually it was in the midst of that situation that my wife and I were also having some issues. And I started to dig into the principles that became the foundation of the book. So this is like, I wasn't done studying all this. This is, I mean, I was literally 10 days into reading the book. There's a particular book that kind of sparked the whole thing for me. So, you know, I got to live it firsthand with some pretty extreme situations. And I not only survived her attacks, but, you know, I won't say we were best friends afterward, but we certainly could work together again. And she saw me as an ally to help her through what was going on instead of someone she needed to get rid of before people found out what was going on. And that's, you know, it's not a perfect relationship, but it was workable. We worked for the business and we didn't, you know, we weren't trying to get each other fired, which is a much better place to be. Mm-hmm. It's progress towards 100.
Yeah. I mean, like any kind of progress just to like have a better relationship, like have the good, like things happen. I mean, yeah, like that's definitely like a goal we should have. And I am interested, like, I know like marriage and stuff like that for some people, yeah, may be a bit of a touchy subject. I know you mentioned, like about your wife, and I thought, well, you went through the divorce on your end.
Yeah.
And, you see like what happens is like, for instance, like the father's like an alcoholic. Now, I'm not saying this is yours, but like,
yeah,
the father's like an alcoholic. The kid's like, I'm never going to be that. Kid becomes an alcoholic. So yeah. I'm wondering if you could share with us, like, because, you know, like you like get, a kid goes through a divorce, like that's not happening to my family, and then it ends up happening. So how are you able to pivot away from that path? I don't know if it was like anything like that, but.
No, but you know, what's interesting when you mention alcoholism specifically is like what I've noticed is people kind of take one of two very extreme paths when they're raised by someone who's an addict of some kind or an abuser of some kind. I mean, it, like divorce is another one where you have these fairly extreme situations that little kids come up in, and you see them either like they become an addict or an abuser, or they're so like vehemently opposed to it and like they won't touch alcohol. And it's really like, that's something personally I've wanted to dig into a lot with people I work with, where like, you know, you hear their story and it's like, you know, my dad drank and he died in his 50s. He drank himself to death or whatever it is. And I'm like, what about you? And it's like, oh, I don't touch alcohol. And then, you know, you talk to someone else. It's like, you know, and I, like my parents were addicts and we were in foster care. And like, so then I found heroin, you know, like they're following in their parents' footsteps. Yeah. So it is really interesting to me how you find these like these two extremes in those kinds of situations. And I see that with divorce too. You know, maybe it's not as overt as someone who's like, you know, suffering from serious addiction or is physically or sexually abusive. But it is a form of a more extreme situation that little kids grow up with. And you see either like their relationships have similar dynamic issues, despite them saying like, I'm never going to be like my parents, or they really do fix things. And I think in either case, it's about whether you're facing and addressing what's going on. And to be fair, like that's what the deal is for me and my wife. You know, like we're human beings. As much as we looked at our parents' relationships, and her parents are still married, but you know, they have their dynamic. Mine are divorced and actually get along really well now. They didn't for a really long time, but like we actually like we have Thanksgiving together, and the four of them, like step parents and my parents, sit in the corner talking to each other, and like everyone else is doing their own thing. It's like, wow. It's like the four of them are at dinner. It's weird. It's great. Like it's much easier. I don't have to shuttle back and forth between two different houses. But yeah, it's, you know, that took a lot of time. But for my wife and I, we grew up with very different kind of family situations. Lots of dysfunction in either of them and lots of good things in either of them. We wanted to take the best from each, but we were also affected by a lot of it and not necessarily consciously like in front of our eyes. You know, like we didn't, I wasn't like, you know, I'm having issues with these things in relationships because I witnessed it in my parents. So it's a lot of this under the surface stuff. And when you're as close to someone as you are when you're married, and when you've been together a really long time, you've gone through a lot. Like, you had me on the last time around Do A Day, like my wife almost died in 2011. That set a very particular relationship for us because, like, first of all, I failed her in that situation. So I hurt her at the most vulnerable time in her life. I didn't cheat on her. I didn't abuse her. I didn't do anything like that. I just didn't stand by her the way she needed me to, when literally everyone told her she was dying and that's what it looked like. So, you know, scariest thing she could have gone through. And her husband's like, I was an anxiety mess back then. And I still deal with my anxiety today, but it's not dealing with me. So, you know, there's scars from that. And then you fall into these roles where, like, I was doing certain things because of her medical situation, like, you know, doing everything around the house and working and whatever. And we just kind of fall into these patterns. And if you're not careful, it starts to define the relationship. And then resentment starts to build, or a lack of connection starts to build. And that's where we got to. And so a lot of those things that we grew up with that maybe we didn't want to emulate, they start coming out because they're ingrained in you. And so it does take addressing it. But in the day-to-day, it's really easy to react. You know, I do something that triggers a memory for her from, you know, what she saw of her parents or how they treated her. And so she reacts to me as if I'm, you know, taking her back when she's like 6 years old. And I do the same thing. You know, it's, oh, this feels like the situation I grew up with my mother and, you know, or my dad or whatever. It's all very triggering. And if we just allow that to run instead of pausing, and this is that step, you know, going back to your question a few minutes ago, is just, it does take presence, it takes mindfulness, and it takes actually quite a bit of energy on your part to pause those thoughts, because your brain's going to run with them. You have to apply your present mind, rational brain, to stop them and say, okay, what's really going on here? She's judging me, she's saying these things to me, but it's because some need or some emotional desire is not being met. And so she's reacting from that place. So she's not happy. You know, there's, and I talk about this in the book, is I got to the place where I started to understand what her sense of happiness was. And I couldn't see it before because I was too busy being offended or being, you know, constrained or being unappreciated or whatever other negative thing I felt she was doing to me. And it was really just changing my ability to stop and recognize what I'm seeing of her as surface level. That's not why she's behaving this way. It's not because I'm a terrible person. It's because she's hurting. Now, why is she hurting? What is it she's actually wanting right now? It's really hard to do this in the moment, but you have to. And when you're not in the moment, you have to reflect so that when you hit those moments, you actually can perform better. And it takes work, takes repetition. You know, it's not like you do it once and then the relationship's fine. But we built towards it and we're not perfect, but we're a heck of a lot better than we were, and we will continue to get better.
And I like how you mentioned relationships. You build them over time. I mean, the relationship can start, but that doesn't mean it's fully built. And
yeah,
I mean, all relationships are just works of progress, and you just keep building and building on them. So
yeah,
there's a lot more you can learn. There's a lot more you can understand about the individual you're trying to build the relationship with. And I think Brian has really brought on a lot of solid points in this episode.
Thanks for that, Mark.
My pleasure. So the 50, 75, 100 solution, build better relationships. We will throw that book in the show notes. Brian, where are some of the other places we could find you as well?
Yeah, so if you can spell my name, which I know you put in the show notes, but it's Brian with a Y.
My name's
with
a C, so like, I get it.
All right, you get it. Yeah, yeah. So it's brianfalchuk.com. That's the easiest place to find me. And I'm at Brian Falchuk everywhere, like all social media. So if you can remember that, you can get to both of my books. 50, 75, 100 is coming out November 19th. And so that's kind of my focus. And if you remember the numbers, you can go to 50, 75, 100.com, and the pre-order's up, and it's 99 cents on Kindle. It's more expensive on other formats, but for the launch, I'm doing 99 cents. Cause everybody needs it, you know? It's not about like making gajillions of dollars selling a book. It's about helping lives. So hopefully people pick it up and just take it in. You know, we can all benefit from, even our good relationships can be better. So it's not just like, oh, I don't have problems. Okay, you probably still have some that could be even better. So yeah, check that out.
Thank you for those resources, Brian. All will be in the show notes. We'll also throw an Ocean Writing for anyone who wants to join me, two fellow authors in a mastermind, where we'll teach you how to make six figures with your book in Florida in the end of January. So if you are an East Coaster, New York guy like me trying to evade some snow, that's a good place to go. But once again, Brian, thank you so much for coming on Breakthrough Success. It was such a pleasure having you on the show.
Thanks for having me on, Mark.
Brian, once again, thank you so much for taking the time to join me on this episode of Breakthrough Success. It was really great to hear about how we can build these better relationships. And the next thing we're going to talk about in our future Breakthrough Success episode is how do we end destructive habits and addictions, whether it's something serious or it's just a habit that you picked up that you feel like is slowing you down. The next Breakthrough Success episode is really going to help you in that area. So definitely stay tuned for that one. Until then, I do hope you consider leaving a review for the podcast on iTunes. The reviews really make a big difference. And signing off, what I want you guys to do is to dream big, achieve greatness, and unlock your potential today.